You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach. We're getting ready to talk a little Baltimore Orioles with MLB.com's Orioles beat reporter, Brittany Ciroli. Pretty clearly, the biggest news around the club this week is the news of Manny Machado having surgery and being done. Was that a surprise for you at all, or did you kind of see that coming?
Yeah, it was. I think it was a surprise for the Orioles, too. They thought that he was making baby steps toward his recovery. It turned out that he was kind of not being entirely truthful in terms of how much progress he was making. He spoke to his doctor in L.A. and really approached the Orioles over the weekend and said, this is what I'm having done. So he could kind of sense that the Orioles weren't thrilled how the news reached out to Machado's doctor and, you know, the suddenness of this kind of news. But certainly when you look back and think about the fact, they didn't tell us what ligament was. They didn't tell us what grade the strain was. So you knew it was something a little more serious than they were letting on. But I would be lying if I said that I wasn't totally shocked that he was having season-ending knee surgery.
A little weird then in retrospect, the whole thing about him traveling with the team, that seemed to be that's generally the kind of thing that one doesn't do if one is a long way from being back.
Well, Matt Leiters does it, and he's out for the season. So it really wasn't all that weird for the Orioles.
They're obviously still kind of looking at what they want to do and how to figure this out, but Chris Davis has been playing third base a lot. Tell me kind of how that came to be do you believe it's something that's going to continue?
Well, he played a ton of third with Texas. I don't think people realize he has probably some of the most games played at third base, comparatively speaking. So they wanted a way to get Steve Pierce, which is playing that real well, into the lineup regularly. Nelson Cruz, Nelson Young also hitting well. So having the three of them in the lineup requires Steve Pierce to be at first base. Now, Davis at third, they think defensively is a better option than Ryan Flaherty. At this point in time, they've really stuck with Jonathan Schoop's day at second for the most part. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of change from that. With Chris Davis, they're going to keep running him out there. They need to find a way to get this guy right. I feel like he still presents a better option than what else they have at this point. So he's going to probably get the lion's share of the playing time the rest of the season there at third base. He's really improved. Even a lot of outfielders in the world first got him and put him at third base in the second half of the season. I believe in 2011 when they first made that trade from Texas. But his defense has gotten a lot better both the first and third. So that's what I would expect to see a lot of Chris Davis at third base over the next month.
He's improved, but he's still clearly not a really good third baseman. And it just stands out to me. And something we've talked about before, I've asked you about, potential upgrades offensively at catcher or second base or whatever. Is there anything odd to you about the fact that the team that has been so adamant about we're not going to sacrifice defense is presumably to some extent sacrificing defense to get a guy who really isn't hitting into the lineup?
We really don't have any other option. It's not like they have someone on the bench who they're like, oh, this guy is definitely a huge upgrade over Chris Davis. There really isn't anybody. I don't know what you would do with this current lineup the way it's constructed, but I'd probably do the same thing that Buck's doing. Is Ryan Flaherty that much better than Chris Davis? Is Jonathan Schoop that much better at third base than Chris Davis? Like I said, there's not a whole lot of other options right now. So in terms of an upgrade, it's late August. It's really hard to get a significant upgrade on a first-place team right now. This is the team that they have. This is the team that you're pretty much going to see throughout September, except for a few September call-ups. Joe Saunders is another roster guy I think they're probably going to add down the stretch. But down there, in terms of infield options, there's no one who's going to make an impact to really unseat Davis.
Well, you tell me. Is Flaherty really not significantly better defensively than Davis?
Not really, no. I think they're probably about the same, honestly. And Flaherty's been in a little bit of a platoon with Schoop. I think they'd like to keep that. Flaherty's also a versatile guy, so having him on the bench, he can enter the game if there's an injury, second, short, third, whereas Chris Davis isn't nearly as versatile. And also, I think that they're probably about even defensively, and you have to hope that Chris Davis can break out. Ryan Flaherty can make the case, can't do any worse than Chris Davis, but Davis did have a home run last night, and you have to hope every game that it's a chance for Chris Davis to turn it around.
There seemed like there was some conversation before the deadline among the various things that they might do about adding an infielder, even when Machado was healthy. There are a few days left, and there's obviously not a lot out there, but is there any talk of any kind of external move, even if not for a starter, of just somebody to add some extra options? Is that on the table at all, or is that really not an option?
Not really. There's really no one out there who makes a whole lot of sense. They were always looking pitching first at the trade deadline. I think they feel just really the infielder and catcher, because in a perfect world, the Orioles would have liked an upgrade at the infield and a catcher in terms of offensively. But it's not something that's been high on their priority list right now. They feel like they can keep pitching the way that they've been pitching, and the defense keeps playing the way that they have. More often than not, the offense is going to be able to scrape together enough runs. Big Marte just having a great year. Jones is having a good year. J.J. Hardy seems to have turned it on as of late, so they feel like they can cover. And they've had most of the season now. They have a 6-game lead with this offense. And Manny Machado, minus that last month, really was either hurt or hadn't done anything. So this is essentially the club they have now. It's been the club that they've had for most of the year. Weeder's only played a month. So they think that they can win games, and they've won a lot of games the way they've constructed.
Well, one thing that is different these days is that Nelson Cruz is in a pretty serious skid. He was such a huge part of what they did early in the year. He is hitting for some power, but he's not getting really many base hits at all. What do you see going on with him?
Well, if you look over his career, he has a lot of injuries there, leg injuries in the second half, and Buck has DH'd him a lot, and I think that's because he's trying to avoid him burning out. I think there's probably some kind of discipline issue with Nelson. He's DH'd much more than any other thought, especially because Dylan Young is a little bit of a liability out there on the field and he's the guy that's taking over. But I think with Cruz, he just got to get him healthy and get into the postseason, because he's got a really good record in the postseason. He's shown he's a guy who really steps up to the moment. So in terms of worries, I think he's kind of towards the bottom of their list. The guy still has 33 or 34 home runs. He had a couple on this road trip. So I feel like he has some of the better at-bats on this team, even if he strikes out or grounds out. It seems like he's working the count consistently. He's a really good veteran presence for them to have around some of those younger hitters. He's never been a first-inch hat-type guy, so they like him. They feel like this was bound to happen. He wasn't going to hit the way he hit the first couple months of the season all year. Again, if they just get him healthy and get him in October, he could be a real force.
I saw something interesting looking around here. You know, It was a long relief appearance, but Ubaldo Jimenez's first relief appearance, at least from the box score, looked really good. Is he a potential weapon in the bullpen? Is he potentially something more than just a guy that you can't take off the roster, so he's got to be in the bullpen?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he's a guy that's made for the bullpen at all, honestly. That was more like a start. What the box score really won't tell you is that it was a 3-hour rain delay, so Ubaldo came out and it was basically like starting the game. He wasn't like he came in with runners on first and second or something like that. So he did pitch well. So it took him 75 pitches, I think, to get through what he did. He still had a fairly high pitch count. I think he had one walk that Buck mentioned after the game. So they're just trying really to find some kind of use for him and not completely bury him, but he's going to be a mop-up guy. I don't think you pay a guy 4 years, $50 million to be in your bullpen. That bullpen is so good that you have to ask yourself, well, if you're going to keep Ubaldo in it for the postseason, which I don't see happening, who goes? So that relief corps, everyone in there, is really proven to have a role and have a spot. Those long guys, Keegan McFarlane and Brad Brock, their ERAs, when you look at them compared to some of the other AL long relief men, they pitch really well. So I don't think Ubaldo in the bullpen is anything they're thinking about long term. It's just a matter of getting through the next month with him, probably shutting him down, and seeing if he can come back fresh from training.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Brittany Giroli, for taking a few minutes to chat with us here. This is MLB.com Extras.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.